بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. In the name of Allah the Most Merciful, the One who bestows mercy. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, and may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In the previous lesson, we finished going through the ayat in which Allah jalla fil 'ula, he speaks about the story of Adam alayhi salam, and specifically when Allah ordered the angels to make sujood in front of Adam, and of course Iblis refused, and then the story of Adam alayhi salam eating from the tree and then being exiled to the earth. And in this lesson, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we are going to recite from ayah number 40, Ya Bani Israel, adhkuru ni'mati allati, to ayah number 48. And as usual, we'll recite it together insha'Allah, and then we will go through some of the tafsir, that which Allah makes easy for us.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
يا بني إسرائيل اذكروا
يا بني إسرائيل اذكروا
نعمتي التي أنعمت عليكم
وأوفوا بعهدي
أوفي بعهدكم وإياي فارهبون وآمنوا بما أنزلت مصدقا لما معكم ولا تكونوا أول كافر به ولا تشتروا بآياتي ثمنا قليلا وإياي فاتقون ولا تلبسوا الحق بالباطل وتكتموا الحق وأنتم تعلمون وأقيموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة واركعوا مع الراكعين أتأمرون الناس بالبر وتنسون أنفسكم وأنتم تتلون الكتاب أفلا تعقلون واستعينوا بالصبر والصلاة وإنها لكبيرة إلا على الخاشعين الذين يظنون أنهم ملاقو ربهم وأنهم إليه راجعون يا بني إسرائيل اذكروا نعمتي التي
يا بني إسرائيل اذكروا نعمتي التي
أنعمت عليكم وأني فضلتكم على العالمين واتقوا يوما لا تجزي نفس عن نفس شيئا ولا يقبل منها شفاعة ولا يقبل منها شفاعة ولا يؤخذ منها عدل ولا هم ينصرون
So in these ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He addresses Bani Israel. And Bani Israel, when we translate it into English, it's translated as the Israelites. However, Israel, this was the name of the Prophet Ya'qub alayhi salam. So Israel was the name of the Prophet Ya'qub alayhi salam. And Bani Israel, they were originally his children. So his children, they were called Bani Israel, or children of Israel, i.e. Ya'qub alayhi salam. However, after time, tribes were named after each one of his sons. And this ayah specifically, it relates to the Yahud from Bani Israel who were living around Al-Madinah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is addressing Bani Israel, He is addressing the Yahud who live around Al-Madinah, and of course anybody from Bani Israel who came after them and also enters into this ayah. And Allah Jalla fil Ula, He is going to remind them of a number of blessings that He bestowed upon them. He says, Ya Bani Israel, اذكروا نعمتي التي أنعمت عليكم. O Bani Israel, remember, make mention of my blessing which I bestowed upon you. Meaning, as the author says, بالقلب اعترافا. That first of all, appreciate and accept it in your heart. وَبِاللِّسَانِ ثَنَاءً And then after that, praise these blessings upon your tongue. وَبِالْجَوَارِحِ بِاسْتِعْمَالِهَا فِيمَا يُحِبُّهُ وَيُرْضِي And then upon your limbs, implement these blessings which Allah has given to you in everything which Allah loves and everything which Allah is pleased with. And this is the reality of shukr. So shukr, it doesn't merely mean that a person says, thank you, O Allah. Rather, what it means is that a person appreciates it in his heart and speaks about it upon his tongue. وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ As for the blessings of your Lord, then make mention of them. And also, that then you use this blessing in that which Allah is pleased with and that which He loves. So for example, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon somebody the blessing of money, then he appreciates this in his heart. He recognizes this blessing, this money is from Allah. Secondly, upon his tongue he mentions it. Oh Allah, I thank you for this blessing or for this wealth. If somebody asks him, how have you got this wealth? A person shouldn't say, well, first I studied for so many years, and then I went to university after that, and then I worked hard, and I work 9 till 5 every single day, I work 6. You say, ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ This is the virtue of Allah. And then after this, you can mention the other things. And then thirdly, upon your limbs, meaning you use this money, you give it in the way of Allah, you give it for sadaqah, you give it in da'wah, you give it towards the building of the masajid and the poor, and so on and so forth. So this is the meaning of making a shukr. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He reminds Bani Israel. He says, O Bani Israel, remember my blessings which I bestowed upon you. وَأَوْفُوا بِعَهْدِي. And also fulfill my pledge. And this pledge is the pledge of Iman. Allah pledged upon those people that they should have Iman in Allah, have Iman in the messengers, they should establish the religion. Allah says to them, وَأَوْفُوا بِعَهْدِي, and fulfill this pledge of mine. أُوفِ بِعَهْدِكُمْ. And if you fulfill this pledge of mine, then I will also fulfill your pledge. Meaning, I will reward you for your Iman and you establishing the religion. And then Allah says, وَإِيَّايَ فَرْهَبُونَ. And fear me. Have dread or fear of my punishment. And then the second thing which Allah orders Bani Israel with, وَآمِنُوا بِمَا أَنزَلْتُ. And have Iman in that which I have revealed, i.e. in the Quran. Because Bani Israel, they used to believe in the Torah, but they used to reject the Quran. So Allah said to them, وَآمِنُوا بِمَا أَنزَلْتُ. And have Iman in that which I have revealed, i.e. the Quran. Why? Why should you have Iman in the Quran? مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا مَعَكُمْ. Because it affirms that which came previously. The message of the Quran, it affirms that which has come in the Torah. So this is a reason why they should accept the Quran. And secondly, because the Torah and the previous scriptures mention the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if they truly believe in the Torah, then they should also believe in the Quran. وَلَا تَكُونُوا أَوَّلَ كَافِرٍ بِهِ. And do not be the first of those who disbelieve in it, i.e. disbelieve in the messenger and disbelieve in the Quran. وَلَا تَشْتَرُوا بِآيَاتِي ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا. And do not trade or purchase with my ayat a value which is very little. وَإِيَّايَ فَاتَّقُونَ. And have taqwa of me. And this word taqwa is something that we hear over and over again. And the ulama, they differed with regards to the definition of at-taqwa. And some of them said that the meaning of at-taqwa is أَن تَجْعَلْ بَيْنَ نَفْسِكَ وَبَيْنَ عِقَابِ اللَّهِ وِقَايَةً. That you should place between you and between the punishment of Allah a barrier. The meaning of taqwa is that you place between you and between the punishment of Allah a barrier. And what is this barrier? امْتِثَالُ أَوَامِرِ اللَّهِ. You fulfill the commandments of Allah. وَاجْتِنَابُ النَّوَاهِي. And you stay away from those things which He has prohibited. This is the meaning of at-taqwa. And then after this, Allah says, وَلَا تَلْبِسُوا الْحَقَّ بِالْبَاطِلِ وَتَكْتُمُوا الْحَقَّ وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. And do not hide or do not deceive or mix truth with falsehood. وَتَكْتُمُوا الْحَقَّ. And neither should you conceal the truth. وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. And you know. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He forbade Bani Israel in this ayah of two things. Firstly, of mixing truth with falsehood. And then secondly, of concealing and hiding the truth whilst they know. And this ayah is also an evidence that the Yahud from amongst Ahlul Kitab, they are the ones who did have knowledge. They used to have knowledge, but either they did not implement and act upon this knowledge, or they should conceal and hide the knowledge. And they used to know, like Allah mentions in the Quran, يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. They know regarding the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam like they know their own children. They know of the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam because his coming was mentioned in their scriptures. But they used to conceal and hide this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He forbade them from two things. He said, وَلَا تَلْبِسُ الْحَقَّ بِالْبَاطِلِ. Do not mix up, do not deceive the people by mixing up the truth with falsehood. And also, وَتَكْتُمُ الْحَقَّ وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. And do not conceal the truth and you know. And this is also applicable of course, to every person who comes afterwards, that those people who know the truth, it isn't allowed them to conceal the truth because they fear for their position, or they fear that somebody is going to speak against them, or they fear that somebody is going to start insulting them. Whoever knows the truth and then conceals the truth, then he has resembled al-Yahud from amongst Bani Israel. And then after this, Allah ordered them with the most important obligations from our religion. He said, وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ, and establish the prayer. Meaning establish the prayer internally and also establish the prayer externally. وَآتُ الزَّكَاةِ, and give the zakah. Meaning give the zakah to those people who are deserving of the zakah. وَارْكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ, and perform ruku' with those people who perform ruku'. Notice in this ayah, Allah mentioned three things. He said, وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ, establish the prayer. وَآتُ الزَّكَاةِ, and give the zakah. وَارْكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ, and make ruku' with those who make ruku'. And as you know, the ruku', meaning the bowing, in which you say Subhana Rabbiyal Azim, this isn't an independent act of worship which you do on its own. Rather, it's part of the prayer. So why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell them, وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ, establish the prayer, and then later on in the same ayah he said, وَارْكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ, and make ruku' along with those people who make ruku'. And there's two benefits in this. The first benefit is that this part of the ayah, وَارْكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ, is an evidence for the obligation of praying in jama'ah. Because initially Allah said, أَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ, establish the prayer. Then afterwards He said, and make ruku' with the people who make ruku', meaning establish your salah, but establish it along with the other people who are establishing it. And the second benefit is that sometimes, and this is the usloob which Allah uses sometimes in the Quran, that a part of something is mentioned and what is intended is the whole thing. So even though the ruku' was mentioned, but it's not just the ruku' which is intended, rather the whole salah is intended. So sometimes in Arabic, a part of something is mentioned, but the actual intended objective is the whole of that thing. And then Allah says, rebuking Bani Israel, أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ, do you order the people with righteousness? Do you order the people with piety? وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ, and yet you forget your own selves. وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابِ, and you recite the book or the scripture. أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ, do you not think and do you not consider? Allah says, أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ, do you order other people with righteousness and yet you forget your own selves? And in this ayah is the benefit that not only should we be ordering people with righteousness and giving da'wah to people, but before that we ourselves should be acting upon this and implementing it. And the ulama, they mention a principle of Ahl Sunnah. They say, إِصْلَاحُ النَّفْسِ مُقَدَّمْ عَلَىٰ إِصْلَاحِ الْغَيْرِ, that a person rectifying his own self comes before rectifying other people. So we shouldn't be like the Yahud of Bani Israel, who they used to concentrate on ordering other people and rectifying other people, and yet they themselves, they don't rectify themselves. So, but at the same time, this doesn't mean, and the author mentions this, at the same time, this doesn't mean that just because you don't do something, therefore you should not order anybody else with goodness. This is also not correct. So there are two obligations mentioned in this ayah, two obligations. The first obligation is ordering with piety and righteousness. This is an obligation. And the second obligation in this ayah is implementing and doing this righteousness in yourself. These are two different obligations. The perfection is in a person doing righteous actions himself and also ordering other people to do righteous actions. And then that which is less is for a person to do righteous actions himself but not to order other people the righteousness. And then the third level, which is even less, is for a person to order other people the righteousness, but he doesn't do the righteousness himself. And at the same time, a person shouldn't have a doubt and say that I am only going to give da'wah to the people if I am the perfect Muslim. This isn't correct. And Imam Malik rahimullah, he said a statement with the meaning of, if we were only to call to that which we do ourselves, and we were only to forbid that which we stay away from, then da'wah would not take place. So what a person should do is give da'wah to the people, and at the same time try as much as he can to implement the righteousness in himself and stay away from evil. But it doesn't mean that if, for example, a person, he doesn't fast on Mondays and Thursdays, this doesn't mean that he doesn't encourage other people to fast on Mondays and Thursdays. And these are two separate obligations. The obligation of you doing something, and then the obligation of you encouraging other people to do this. So even if you don't do something, then encourage other people to do it. And this is, of course, after the obligations, because the obligations every single person has to do. And this is what the author, rahimullah, he mentioned here. He said, وَلَيْسَ فِي الْآيَةِ أَنَّ الْإِنسَانَ إِذَا لَمْ يَقُمْ بِمَا أُمِرَ بِهِ أَنَّهُ يَتْرُكَ الْأَمْرُ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَالنَّهِي عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. That this ayah does not mean that if a person does not fulfill the commandments, that he should then abandon ordering people with goodness and forbidding them from evil. And notice how in this ayah, Allah finished it by saying, أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Do you not think? And the aql, as the author mentions, the aql, it was only called the aql لِأَنَّهُ يَعْقِلُ بِهِ مَا يَنْفَعُهُ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ. Because a person, he uses this to understand that which benefits him. And the meaning of عَقِلَ or عَقَلَ means to understand. This is the meaning of عَيْن قَافْ لَمْ I, to understand. And the عَقَل was called the عَقَل because people should use this to understand what benefits them and what harms them. And therefore to do that which benefits them and to stay away from that which harms them. And for this reason Allah mentioned this word in this ayah. That do you order other people to do righteousness? So you know what righteousness is, but then you don't do it yourselves. Do you not use your aql? Doesn't your aql tell you to do first that which is good and stay away from that which is evil and harms you? And then Allah Jalla fil Ula, he mentioned two great acts of worship by which we can seek the help of Allah. He says, وَاسْتَعِينُ بِالصَّبَرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. Seek help, meaning seek help from Allah through sabr and as-salah. And the meaning of as-sabr is patience, and as-salah is of course the salah. And the meaning of as-sabr, the meaning of as-sabr is habsun nafs, is for a person to control his self and his desires. This is the meaning of as-sabr, habsun nafs, a person withholding and controlling and having authority over his own self and his own desires. And as-sabr, as the ulama mentioned, it is three types. The first type is as-sabru ala ta'atillah, a person controlling his own self in fulfilling the obligations of Allah or in obedience to Allah. So for a person to fast in the summer days of Ramadan, it requires patience. A person to pray five times a day, it requires for a person to control his desires and control his self. I have sabr. A person to wake up in the morning, for example, and leave his bed and make wudu, and maybe the water is cold, it requires for a person to have habsun nafs, to control his self and to have authority over his self. I have patience. So this is the first type of sabr. As-sabru ala ta'atillah. Be patient upon obedience to Allah. The second type of sabr is as-sabru an ma'asiyatillah, a person controlling himself, having authority over his desires, in staying away from disobedience. So it requires from a person a sabr, controlling of his own desires to not listen to music. Or if, for example, may Allah protect us, a woman walks past us, it requires a person to control himself and have authority over his desires in order to not look at that woman who is ajnabi. So this is the second type of sabr, as-sabru an ma'asiyatillah. A person has patience in staying away from the disobedience to Allah. And the third type of sabr is as-sabru ala aqdarillah. Is for a person to be patient and control himself and have authority over his desires upon the decree of Allah. So when a person is afflicted by an illness or with poverty or a day of sadness and anxiety, then a person controls himself and controls his desires in that he doesn't lose hope in Allah, he doesn't speak against Allah, he doesn't speak against the decree of Allah. So these are the three types of as-sabr. Allah says, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ. Seek help through as-sabr, through patience, and seek help through as-salah, and it is something which is difficult except on the people of al-khushu'. And the author, he says, the meaning of al-khushu', it is خُضُوعُ الْقَلْبِ وَطَمَأْنِينَتُهُ وَسُكُونُهُ لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى. That the meaning of khushu' is khudu' and tama'nina and as-sakina. So, as-salah and as-sabr is something which is very difficult and severe upon the people except those who have this tranquility in Allah and those who find comfort in Allah. This tama'nina, it is tama'nina in Allah. And this sakina which you find in your heart, it is having sakina in Allah. That your comfort and your tranquility is because of your iman in Allah and because of your iman in al-qadr, in the decree of Allah and the meeting of Allah. And who are the people of khushu'? Illa 'ala al-khashi'in. Who are the people of khushu'? He said, alladhina yadhunnuna annahum mulaqu rabbihim. They are those who have certainty in the meeting of the Lord. I.e., they have certainty in the meeting of the Lord on yawm al-qiyamah, on the day in which they will be resurrected. And on that day, then Allah will reward every person for the good that he or she did, and those who did evil are deserving of punishment. وَأَنَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. And they know and they are certain that they will return back to them. This iman, al-imanu bil-yawm al-akhir, this is one of the greatest things which helps a person find comfort and tranquility in Allah and find comfort and tranquility in times of difficulty and hardship. As long as a person knows that whatever happens on this dunya, then there is a time where I will mulaqu rabbihim, where I will meet my Lord. وَأَنَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. And that we will return to Allah. So any difficulty that a believer goes in this life, then he knows that in the hereafter there is ease because of that difficulty. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said in the hadith of Ummul Mu'minin Aisha radiallahu anha, that a believer, he's not pricked by a thorn, he's not pricked by a thorn, except because of this pricking of the thorn, a sin is being removed from the hereafter. So imagine if there is some comfort a person could even find in the pricking of a thorn. And this is only for a believer. What is it that helps a believer find tranquility and comfort in Allah when he or she goes through difficulties? His iman in the hereafter. That whatever is happening now, whatever loss, whatever difficulty, whatever ill health, then I know that in the hereafter I will be rewarded for it. Somebody steals from you, somebody abuses you, somebody insults you, and you forgive them because you know in the hereafter we will meet Allah. And this is what helps a believer keep calm. And notice therefore the context of this ayah. وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. Seek help through as-sabr and as-salah, through being patient and through the salah. وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ. And both of these things are severe and difficult except on the people of khushu'. Khushu' are those people who find comfort and tranquility in Allah. Why do they find comfort and tranquility in Allah when they go through difficulties? Because الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا رَبِّهِمْ. Because they are the ones who are certain that they will meet their Lord. So anything that happens in this life, as long as they have sabr, and as long as they have as-salah, they remain tranquil and calm. وَأَنَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. And that they will return to Allah. And then Allah says once again, addressing Bani Israel, يَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ أَوْ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ اُذْكُرُوا نِعْمَتِيَ الَّتِي أَنْعَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ. Remember, meaning appreciate and speak about and implement my blessing which I blessed you with. وَأَنِّي فَضَّلْتُكُمْ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ. And that I preferred you over the rest of the people. Meaning I preferred you through the sending of the messengers and the revealing of the books. And people are only preferred over mankind if they fulfill these things which we mentioned in the previous ayat. وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمَا. And then fear a day. Have fear of a day. لَا تَجْزِي نَفْسٌ عَن نَفْسٍ شَيْئًا. In which one person will not be rewarded for the action of another person. Unless, of course, you give da'wah to that person, and therefore you are also rewarded because of your da'wah for the action that that person does. But generally speaking, I will bear the burden of my sins, and you will bear the burden of your sins. And nobody else will bear the burden of another person's sin. The only thing which benefits a person in this dunya are the righteous actions which you do. Like Allah said in another ayah, وَأَلَّيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. That every person, he will only have the efforts which he did in this world. The actions which you did and the actions which you put forward, they are the actions which you will be rewarded for. وَلَا يُقْبَلُ مِنْهَا شَفَاعَةً. And fear the day in which no shafa'a will be accepted. No intercession will be accepted. Meaning, no intercession will be accepted except by the permission of Allah, when Allah permits His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to make shafa'a for the believers. وَلَا يُؤْخَذُ مِنْهَا عَدَلٌ. And on that day, no replacement will be accepted. So for example, the mother will not be able to come as a replacement for the son and say, oh Allah, I'll have the punishment of his sins. Rather, every single person will bear the burden of their own sins. وَلَا هُمْ يُنصَرُونَ. And neither will they be helped, because on Yawm al-Qiyamah, Allah will reward even the atom's worth of good with goodness, and Allah will punish even an atom's worth of sin with the punishment. And we suffice with this. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina wa sallam.